Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. Welcome to our show as we cover world events in light of biblical prophecies, the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, folks, it is good to be here with you today on this Saturday morning. Now, we usually come to you on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 p.m., but we are coming to you at 10 a.m. This morning, Eastern Standard Time, because our special guest that we have on our broadcast, David James, will be with us today, and he is in the Philippines. And I believe there is somewhat of a 12-hour difference between us here in the United States and them over there in the Philippines. And so that is where David James is right now. But before we get to David James, I am coming to you live from Decatur, Illinois, where after the broadcast, my wife and I will be leaving for Franklin, Kentucky, where Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, September 27th, I will be speaking at the Clear Fork Baptist Church in Rockfield, Kentucky. I will be speaking there Sunday morning at 11 a.m. as well as Sunday evening at 6 p.m. So if you live anywhere in Franklin, Woodbury, or the Rockfield area, I want to invite you to come on out and join us as I take a look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. So, folks, what I want to do is I want to get to David James immediately because we have a very important topic that we want to talk about today, and that is the book and the video, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And so I hope that you would invite a friend and tune into the broadcast today because David has done his homework on this. He has done his research on this. And, of course, he is from the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And so we're going to be talking about that right now. So what we're going to do is welcome David James to the program. David, are you there, my friend?
Hi, August. Yes, I am. Good to be with you again.
Wow, we have David. David, you're coming all the way from the Philippines. Just let our listeners know what you're doing over there.
Well, I'm here for 2 weeks. I'm speaking with Word of Life at their Bible Institute. This past week, I taught the Book of Joshua to the first-year Bible Institute students, and then I flew down to the southern island, main island of Mindanao, where I've been for the last couple of days, and I've just been in a pastor's conference, and we spoke on current theological issues, and one of them was the subject that we're speaking about today, which is near-death experiences and the book 90 and the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and then I head back to the northern island of Luzon, and I teach Roman Catholicism next week, and I do another pastor's conference, as well as speak at a large Christian college of about and school of about 3,000 students from grades 1 through 12.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd love to be a fly on the wall over there, brother, to listen to what you have to say. And actually, I think that would be another great topic for the following month when we have you back on the air on Roman Catholicism, of course, with the Pope being in the United States right now speaking to Congress. I think that's something that our listeners would really love to eavesdrop on that conversation. But today, David, we're going to be talking about the book and the movie 90 Minutes in Heaven, and people who say that they have these near-death experiences. So I just want to get into that right now. So, Brother David, we're going to be talking about the 90 minutes in heaven. And there is a book and a movie about the subject. And I understand that it sold nearly 7 million copies or so. I've just recently seen them in Walmart and other areas, and especially in Christian bookstores. A movie was made about it. You went to go and see that movie. And it's about a man who claimed that he died and went to heaven. And, of course, the man's name is a pastor, Don Piper. What do we know about Mr. Piper?
Well, like you said, he is a pastor. He's actually a Baptist pastor. And in 1989, he was traveling home from a meeting. It was in January, I believe, of 1989. And he had a head-on collision with a semi-tractor and trailer. And the tractor trailer basically ran over his vehicle, and he was crushed in the wreckage in that vehicle. And his book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, which was published in 2004, chronicles his experience. Now, what happened was during the time that he was trapped in his vehicle, it was an absolutely horrendous accident, and I don't want to take that away from him, and I don't want to take away the traumatic experience that it was for him trying to recover, and what it was for his wife as well. But at the same time, the EMTs got to his vehicle, could not find a pulse, could not detect him breathing, and had called the coroner to have him pronounced as dead. And so it was during this time, it was a period of about 90 minutes, someone that he knew had come to the vehicle, didn't realize it was him, was praying for him, and while he was praying for him, he revived and regained consciousness.
Now, you know, like you said, we're not downplaying that very terrible, terrible accident. We're not downplaying that in any way, shape, or form. I couldn't just begin to imagine what he went through and the devastation and the trauma that it caused, you know, for him. But, you know, many people claim that they have near-death experiences or what you would call NDE. And it seems Mr. Piper's book and this movie is kicking off these near-death experiences all over the country, as a matter of fact, for the world, for that matter. Can you just explain to our people what near-death experiences are?
Sure. And you're right. There are many who have claimed to have a near-death experience. A near-death experience is actually even somewhat of a misnomer because it's not just near death, but most people claim to have died, actually not just came to the point of death, but actually had died and then came back to life. And during this time, between the time that they died and the time that they came back to life, many people claim that they actually went to heaven. Some claim that they went to hell. I've read at least one account that indicated that they went to hell first and then went to heaven and then came back. And one of the things I think is important for us to point out, and the thing that I point out to that I speak to about this, and I speak on this issue relatively frequently, and I do it in my course on current theological issues because it is such a big topic, and as you noted, that book has sold over 7 million copies. I believe it's in over 40 languages. But anyway, one of the things that I point out, and it's important to understand, that there is a difference that I would understand between someone being clinically dead and someone being dead in the biblical sense. And here's what I mean. To be clinically dead means that your vital signs have reached a point where they are so low that they can't be detected. Now, it may be that I would say, for example, in the case of the EMTs who came upon the accident that Don Piper was in, they weren't able to detect a pulse or his breathing, but they didn't have medical equipment with them, for example, to run an EKG or an EEG to detect brain waves or anything like that. I would say it's also possible that someone's actual vital signs flatlined and really they don't have any detectable vital signs, even with a medical equipment. However, to be biblically dead or dead in a biblical sense means that that is the point where the spirit leaves the body. And those two things do not necessarily happen simultaneously. Someone could be clinically dead, and yet God has not allowed their spirit to leave their body. And then it's only when your spirit leaves your body that you are actually physically dead in the biblical sense. So it's important, I think, to make a distinction between the two in that regard.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we make a distinction between clinically dead and biblically dead, folks. I hope that that you would also make a distinction with that as you maybe go out to see the movie or read that book. But, you know, David, I spoke in Oklahoma a few weeks back, and a man came up to me after the service who said that he died and that he saw Jesus. He said that he did not see his face because it was just shining so brightly. He said that his hands and his feet were on fire. Now, I did not, you know, come back at this man or try to, you know, disprove what he was saying. But everyone who claims to have a near-death experience seems to have different accounts of Jesus. I mean, since the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not. Yet there is much inconsistency with those who have near-death experiences comes to describing Jesus. I mean, why is that?
Right. Well, and it's not just Jesus. I have read five or six books on by those who claim to have had near-death experiences. I also, in addition to 90 Minutes in Heaven, I also read Heaven is for Real, and I saw that movie as well. I've read other books, and I read one book, which is a compilation of over 20 different near-death experiences. And there are four common things that everyone experiences or most people experience, and that is, one, rising up out of the body. Number two is going through a dark tunnel. Number three is approaching a bright light or being in the presence of a bright being, which is what you just described. And then an overwhelming sense of peace and acceptance. But once you get beyond those four things, and those are experienced not just by Christians who would go to heaven or would claim or believe that they went to heaven, but those four things by themselves are generally experienced across the board, whether someone is from a Hindu, a Jewish, a Muslim background, or even atheist. Those four those things tend to be in common. Whereas once you get past those, there is no agreement between any two people concerning what heaven looks like, what they experienced, what they saw, what people look like, what angels look like, what they heard, what Jesus looked like, what they did while they were there, what they claimed to see gates of heaven, which the Bible does not even describe heaven as having gates. The only time we read about gates is in at the end of the book of Revelation, and it's not heaven, mm-hmm. It's the city of Jerusalem which has gates,
yep.
not heaven. That's a common misnomer that heaven has gates. The Bible doesn't tell us whether heaven has gates or not. And so they don't agree on anything. Here's my understand this. that we're one of the things I say is we're all made out of the same stuff. And what I mean by that is, from a biochemical perspective, our brains, our bodies are all made out of the same combination of chemicals, and we have biochemical processes. That being the case, when we are approaching the point of death and our brain starts shutting down and our bodily functions begin to shut down, and our brain begins to release chemicals and hormones and various things as part of this shutting down process when we're right at the brink of death, since we're all made out of the same stuff, it would make sense that there would be certain things that we would all experience that are very similar. And if we would come back from that point of being close to death, being close to the point of our spirit leaving our body, even crossing the threshold of being clinically dead but not being biblically dead, that we would have similar experiences. And we all have had vivid dreams. Every one of us have probably had very vivid dreams that seemed absolutely real to us, to the point where we might wake up excited, we might wake up fearful, we might wake up remembering different things. And yet if we all had a dream of heaven as opposed to visit the real place, we would probably all have different descriptions, because we all have our own unique ideas of what heaven is like. Plus, our brain, while we're dreaming, we make up things that are beyond what we actually have ever thought or considered during our waking hours. So I think that is very much likely the reason that we would experience this. And one other thing I would say, since these things are experienced across the board, if atheists and Hindus and Jews and Muslims and everybody in between they're all actually going to heaven when they have these near-death experiences, then that means that you and I might as well pack up our Bibles, stop going to church, stop reading our Bibles, stop preaching the gospel, because we're 100% wrong, because what we believe, what you and I believe, and others who believe the Bible, is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, and salvation is exclusively in him. And so if they're right, then we are completely wrong.
Yeah, absolutely, David. That was well put. I mean, Pope Francis some time ago made the statement, as you mentioned, atheists, that, atheists, even though they don't believe in God, if they do good works, they're on their way to heaven. Or anybody who does good works, according to Mr. Francis, is on their way to heaven. But you're right, David. If that was the case, we might as well just throw our Bibles in the trash and stop going to church. And this is just a farce. And so it's just absolutely ridiculous. But, in reference, David, to Don Piper, we are getting one man's perception about what happened. Now, my question to you is, does perception actually correspond to reality?
Right, and that's an excellent question. And I would say no, that perception does not correspond to reality. And here's why. If heaven is a real place, and of course you and I believe that it is, and we understand very clearly that the Bible very clearly teaches it is a real place. It's not just a real place, but it's an objectively real place. For example, you're in Decatur, Illinois. And when you're going around the city of Decatur, which is not too far from where I live in Indiana, if I claim to have visited Decatur, Illinois, and what I describe to you does not match Decatur, Illinois, but it actually describes a completely different place, then you would have to say that I didn't actually visit Decatur, Illinois. And if you have 10 people who claim to visit Decatur, Illinois, but 10 people describe Decatur, Illinois in completely different ways, not just the fact that they you know, we're in different parts of the city, but they describe the highway that you drove into Decatur on. They describe the entrance to that city in 10 different ways, and it's obviously not the same place. Then you have to say that these 10 people did not all go there. And that's what you have with these different descriptions, whether it be Colton Burpo, the young boy, the three-year-old boy who claims to have went to heaven and heaven is for real, or many other people who have had similar claims. All of their descriptions are completely different.
Folks, you are listening to David James, and if you want to read more about these very important topics that we as Christians really need to get a grasp of, I mean, because there's a lot of unbiblical stuff going on out there in the church today, in the world of Christianity for that matter, and we need to decipher to what is false and what is biblical. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening to this show and you want to know more about this, visit David James' website at www.biblicalintegrity.org. That's once again biblicalintegrity.org to read his very informative articles. David, I'm on your website all the time. As a matter of fact, I think I'm getting addicted to it because there's a lot of good information. I mean, you really do your research on a lot of these topics. I mean, we're not just flying off the handle here. You've done your homework. You've done your research on these topics, and you tackle it from a biblical standpoint, and that's what I appreciate about your ministry, Alliance for Biblical Integrity, because, folks, we all want to get to the truth, and, you know, Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and so God's word is truth. And so we need to decipher to what is not biblical and what is biblical. And that's exactly what David James does. So visit his website, www.biblicalintegrity.org. Just briefly, David, you mentioned heaven is real. And I believe it was about a boy who said he died and he went to heaven. And, of course, this also sold many, many, many books. But the boy's mother seems to be saying something totally different. Can you just share with our viewers what that's all about?
Well, actually, these are you're talking about two different books. The book Heaven is for Real is about Colton Burpo, a three-year-old boy who had appendicitis. His appendix burst. And he very nearly died in the hospital, but he did not die according to hospital records. He claims to have went to heaven, and I'll explain a little bit about his claims in just a moment. Now, the situation where there is a mother who has now been talking about a situation with her boy is actually a different book. That is the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. That mother's name is Beth Malarkey. Now, in that situation, in 2004, her husband, Kevin, was driving with their son, their four-year-old son, Alex. I think he was four years old, or maybe he was six. I think he was 4 years old at the time, was driving with their son in the back of the car, and they were broadsided by a vehicle. And it was another very terrible accident that actually left their son Alex as a quadriplegic, as he is to this day. So it was a long recovery, and he's never going to recover short of a miracle where the Lord would heal him completely. So he is a quadriplegic. His mom has to take care of him multiple hours every day. So I read his book as I was researching this to actually do an interview with and discuss this with Jimmy DeYoung back in the spring of 2014. It was one of the books that I read as in my part of my ongoing research. And as part of the research, I ran across Alex Malarkey's mom's blog, and in that she was beginning to say that what Alex had said concerning his claimed trip to heaven wasn't true. And so I contacted her via her blog and asked her if she would contact me by email, which she did. And then actually I talked with her on the phone for about 90 minutes. And she has been on Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, discussing this. She's been in contact with Bill Johnson out at John MacArthur's ministry. But the bottom line is this. On the cover of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, in which Alex, her son, claimed to have gone to heaven and seen Jesus and the many things that others have claimed, on the cover of the book, you see that the book is written by Kevin and Alex Malarkey. However, if you turn to the flyleaf, you see that the copyright is held only by his father. And one of the things that his mom has said is, and it seems to be true, I've been in extensive correspondence with her. I've also been in correspondence with Phil Johnson, who seemed to believe that she's telling the truth about this now, is that Alex has recanted his story, has said that he made it up, that he did not go to heaven, that Beth says that she had got caught up in this and that she was moved away from a biblical thinking. She has since got back thinking biblically about this. But in spite of that, her husband, because he's a copyright holder, has not shared the royalties with the book, built a little building on the property where he made his own office and bedroom out there, that he continued to tour and promote the book in churches extensively, make tens of thousands of dollars, and when she recanted, and I've known this for about 18 months, but I think it was earlier in this year, it became national news, and the book publisher pulled the books. Lifeway Books, which is the book chain of the Southern Baptist Convention, also pulled all the books from its shelves, and so that's where we are with that. Now, Colton Verpo, who is the one for In Heaven Is For Real, he is now a teenager. I believe he's about 15 or 16. After this happened with Alex Malarkey and he recanted, Colton Verpo came out saying that he still stands by his claims of his trip to heaven when he was 3 years old.
Well, that's just sad to hear. I mean, despite all this evidence coming out, they're still willing to go with a false story, I mean, just for the sake of financial gain. I mean, it's really sad. But, you know, David, I know that you're not the type of person to critique books and movies, music for that sort, but, you know, you went to see this movie, 90 Minutes in Heaven. What was your take on that movie?
Well, you're right. I try to stay away from that and try to stay focused on the content. But the problem is when you're talking about something like this and an issue that is so emotional, I think it's important that we do discuss this somewhat. And what I would say about the movie is that from the perspective of a movie being a movie critic, it really is not a fully high. Christians don't seem to make movies are of that high a quality intent. The script, that dialogue is very hokey in places. People just don't talk like they talked in the movie. They don't act like they acted in the movie. And the reason I bring that up is because movies have the potential of being very powerful, and so it actually even gives Christianity a bad name when you have a movie that is this bad trying to convey what is claimed to be spiritual truth. The fact is, the movie just drags on and on and on. You just can't wait for it to end. It's that bad. But the real travesty, apart from that, the real travesty is at the very end of the movie, where Don Piper appears, not the character playing his role, but Don Piper speaks. He's in a pulpit in a fairly good sized church, and he's speaking, and he is a Baptist pastor, but I would say that in this case, he completely abdicated his role as a minister of the gospel. Because, like you said, his book has sold over 7 million copies. It's in over 40 languages. And now with this movie, he has the potential of reaching tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people who will see this in the theaters. And yet he does not include the slightest shred of the gospel at all. It's a few minutes long, that last segment there. He talks about keeping the faith, but he doesn't explain what the faith is. And he says, and I hope to see you all in heaven someday, but he doesn't give the gospel, which is the only way by which he or anybody else can actually end up going home to be with the Lord when they die. So it's almost to the point where it makes you angry as someone who is a minister of the gospel and who does want to make sure that people understand the gospel clearly, who does believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He missed this opportunity and allowed a movie to be made about his life and his experience, and then completely failed to give the gospel, did not even the slightest bit of the gospel is given. And so if you're faced with a choice of producing the movie and you have the opportunity to give the gospel, or Hollywood or the producer or whoever will not allow you to give the gospel clearly, you have no choice, in my opinion, but not to do the movie if that is the condition. And in fact, since it's about his life, it would seem to me that he would have the opportunities to set exactly the conditions upon which he would let the story be told.
Wow. I mean, you claim to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but yet, you know, you're on the world stage and you fail to give the gospel. I mean, that is just absolutely atrocious, in my opinion. You know, it seems to me, Dave, that the book and the movie have two different things. As the book describes his alleged 90-minute trip to heaven, but it seems like the movie leaves all of that out. I mean, that would be an accurate assumption.
Well, it's almost sort of a bait and switch, I would say. In his book, there are two chapters out of many chapters, but the two chapters devoted to his trip to heaven, the claimed trip to heaven. Let me make that clear. Not his real trip to heaven, his claimed trip to heaven. In the movie, however, it only takes up, I don't think it takes up a total of 5 minutes out of a 90, I think it's about a 90-minute movie. And so it's not about his time in heaven, which is what is going to be drawing people there in the first place. It's mostly about his time in the hospital and his recovery. And then you draw people in, so you bring them into the movie theater, you don't give them what they expect, and then at the end you don't give the gospel. So it's really a travesty from one end to the other, and I don't understand. You know me, I try to stay away from motives, and I try to give the benefit of the doubt. But this is just not good, just not good at all from one end to the other.
You know, folks, if you're listening to this program, you know, experience or perception is not a test of biblical truth. Emotions are not a test of biblical truth. And we really, really need to be careful with that because, you know, Dave, people are basing, in the church today, people are basing their doctrines on experience, perceptions, and emotions. I mean, David, how dangerous is that?
Well, it's extremely dangerous, and also, you know, I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the book Heaven is for Real to show you how absurd this becomes when people accept the imaginations of a 3- and 4-year-old boy who tells a story over the period of days, weeks, and months. For example, in the book Heaven is for Real, this little boy claims that everybody has wings, not just angels. And in the Bible, angels don't even have wings except for seraphim. No other right. angels are said to have wings. It's the seraphim, or and perhaps even going on to the throne room angels in the book of Revelation, which may be seraphim, we don't know. But beyond that, angels don't have wings, but at least not described as having wings. But he says that even people have wings, and you can decide whether you want to walk or fly in heaven, so that determines whether you get wings or not. He claims that Jesus has a rainbow-colored horse. The only horse that we see connected with Jesus is a white horse in Revelation 19. He says that he pulled up a chair. They pulled him up a chair so he could sit beside the Holy Spirit, who was kind of blue. In a second book that his father and mother have written that just came out this year, he also claims that God the Father has wings. He claims that he saw the Satan, and that Satan had lost his light. Well, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan himself appears as an angel of light. There's no indication in Scripture that when Satan fell and he lost his position and became the epitome of evil, that he lost either his beauty nor his power. He simply lost his position and his nature changed so that he became a liar and the father of lies. And yet he describes Satan as having lost his light and as having horns. Well, those come out of medieval Catholic paintings and modern depictions of Satan with horns. The Bible doesn't talk anything about that. So these are the musings and the imaginations of a 3- and 4-year-old boy whose father is also a pastor, and people are eating this stuff up. His book has also sold over 7 million copies. The movie came out last year, and people are buying this stuff and this experience, and what is happening is it's supplanting what the truth of the Scriptures. And one more thing that I would point out. Because of the people who people claim that they experience these four things, especially this feeling of acceptance, if they claim to have gone to heaven, there are significant number of stories of people who have belonged to conservative Bible-believing churches that teach that Jesus is the only way. When after they come back from one of these near-death experiences, many of them, or at least a good number of them, have ended up leaving those churches because they come back with the idea that the exclusiveness of salvation in Christ alone is not true. And they come back with a very universalistic idea that everybody is saved. And even though in the book Heaven is for Real, it is very clear that Jesus is the only way of salvation. In the movie, the Hollywood version, it is very universalistic in the impression that it leaves. So that you couldn't be more dangerous.
And it's a shame that Christians are not even catching on to this. It's like there's no type of biblical discernment at all. And that's what really that saddens me. You know, David, we were with you, you know, a few weeks back in Chattanooga for School of Prophets, as you are my Bible college professor, and you did a wonderful segment on signs and wonders in the charismatic movement. You know, one charismatic missionary doctor by the name of Percy Collette claimed that in 1982 he was transported to heaven. He didn't die, but he was transported to heaven for 5.5 days, and he claimed to see Jesus, who was supervising the building of mansions there. In other words, others were working on those mansions under his supervision. Now, we know that statement is unbiblical because Jesus himself said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He did not say, "I have others preparing it. But Mr. Collette said that he spake face-to-face with the Holy Spirit. David, what do we do with people like this when they make these type of claims?
Well, you have either one of two possibilities. One is they are delusional, or two, they are simply lying. There's really no other possibility. When you look at the very few cases in the Bible where people came back from the dead, it was either at the hand of a prophet, at the hand of an apostle, or at the hand of Jesus himself. There was never anyone that I'm aware of where you have a spontaneous coming back to life after you have died. Also, now in the case you say he didn't die, and I'm not familiar with his particular story, but you know, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says, whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I was caught up to heaven, and he said, and I saw things which, or I knew a man who was caught up to heaven, and he saw things which were unlawful to express. So the Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven. It was so real, he wasn't sure whether it was an out-of-body experience or whether he was taken there bodily. But the point is, and the main point is this, that what Paul saw and what Paul heard was of such significance that he was not allowed by God to tell. Here you have the foremost apostle, the foremost theologian in the New Testament, when it comes to establishing the Church of Jesus Christ, and he is not allowed to speak of what he saw, and yet there are these dozens and maybe hundreds of people today who either have a near-death experience or claim to have dreams and visions of heaven or have out-of-body experiences like the one you just talked about. And they're talking about these things. Some of them are making much money as a result of this. It has zero biblical precedent, and we don't know from the Bible by either prescription or description, and we're willing to accept the claims of these people, then we're going to be deceived. And many people are becoming accomplices, because what's happening is these books are being passed around. When you pass a book from on to a person, or you send a link to a video to another person, you are taking upon the mantle of a teacher yourself, and you bear the same responsibility as the person teaching. When you're exposing your friends and family to these false teachings, because it is influencing them spiritually, and there is a tremendous accountability for those who take upon the mantle of teaching.
Well, folks, you're listening to David James from the Alliance of Biblical Integrity, and we are hitting the topic of the book and movie 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper. And, you know, Dave, I mean, Don Piper seems to be teaching a universal salvation where he says, I hope to see you all in heaven. He makes no attempt to share the gospel or give an invitation for people to get saved. He just simply said, just keep the faith. He does seem to be teaching some sort of a universal salvation. And also, I believe in the movie, the name of Jesus Christ is barely mentioned. I mean, what, maybe once or twice?
Right. It is only mentioned a couple of times. And here, you know, it's been a few months since I read the book, and I do believe that I do believe the gospel is much more clear in the book. But here it highlights the problem of the compromise when you start dealing with things connected with Hollywood or the production of movies for general consumption. That it seems to me that, you know, it's almost, and this is just a figure of speech, but, you know, you're selling your soul to the devil when you get into that, and then you fail to give the truth. And so there are going to be people, many people, maybe tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who may see the movie who will never read the book. And if they walk away from the movie that with the idea that this is the truth, they are going to, and if they've never heard the gospel, they are going to be lost, they are going to be deceived, they're not going to have their sins forgiven, they are not going to have eternal life, and they will spend an eternity separated from God, ultimately in the lake of fire. This is not fun and games. So even if the gospel is clearly presented in the book, it absolutely is not, even in the slightest detail, no aspect of the gospel whatsoever is in the movie at all. Not even when we're talking about his character in the movie speaking, which is Hayden Christensen, or I believe that's his name, but Don Piper himself at the end, he does not give it. There is no excuse. There is no justification for that whatsoever, no matter what he personally believes or no matter what he preaches. Even if he preaches the gospel clearly from the pulpits that he's in, there is no justification for him not including it in the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you mentioned Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, when he said that he was caught up to the third heaven and heard unspeakable words that a man just simply doesn't utter, and yet it's interesting that Paul said he never said he saw Jesus, you know, in that passage. If I get it correctly, he never mentioned it about seeing Jesus, and yet this is an apostle who had a Damascus Road experience in Acts chapter 9, and then of course he said he was caught up to that third heaven, but he never mentioned seeing Jesus. So what makes people like Piper or Collette better than the apostle Paul is my question. I mean, Dave, the Bible rarely ever mentions, I mean, it mentions maybe a brief glimpse of heaven on two occasions. What Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and John's description in Revelation chapter number 1, where he seems to give us somewhat of a snapshot of the Lord Jesus. But the Bible really doesn't have a whole lot to say about heaven. Am I correct on that?
No, you're absolutely right. You do have in Isaiah 6,
he
does see the seraphim and he hears them crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." So you have a couple of instances, but again, they're radically different than what we're hearing. And certainly you also have Daniel where he saw the Ancient of Days. So you have these glimpses of heaven, but they are consistent with one another. They aren't divergent descriptions. They're absolutely complementary and consistent, but it's not that they're describing different things. And in fact, what John saw is absolutely consistent with, and when he saw Jesus in the appearance that John saw in Revelation 1, actually matches what Daniel describes in the book of Daniel. So you have these things that are consistent, which is radically different than these divergent stories of trips to heaven.
Folks, the Bible does not contradict itself. Man contradicts, but God in his word never, ever contradicts whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. Folks, David James from the Alliance of Biblical Integrity. David, how can people get a hold of your ministry and get a hold of you?
Sure. You can go to my website, which is biblicalintegrity.org, one word, biblicalintegrity.org. You can find my article there on 90 Minutes in Heaven, as well as Near-Death Experiences. I have another article. You can contact me at my email address at the bottom of the homepage. You can hear my weekly interviews with Jimmy DeYoung on current theological issues, and you can also go to the contact page and get a hold of me there. You write to me, I'll get back with you. If you have questions, I'll be happy to do that. And I'm also offering these seminars, like on near-death experiences, the charismatic movement, God's plan through the ages. I'm offering them now as seminars and conferences for local churches, so I'd be happy to get out and be at some local churches of some of your listeners if they're interested.
Well, to get a hold of him, David James, write to him, send him an email. I promise he will get back to you. He's good at that. David, you're in the Philippines. We're praying that God uses you out there, my friend. We're praying for you. Really appreciate all the hard work that you're doing and how God is just using you tremendously. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show. We hope to see you next month.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you again.
Folks, David James from the Alliance of Biblical Integrity. And thank you so much for tuning in to the show. And we hope to see you next week. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.